All right, thank you for that, Daniel. We're in Exodus tonight, and we will not, I know we have the, believe the parents' orientation tonight, so I will do my best to get out by 6. I don't think that will be a problem, and so just listen up. I'll speak, you listen, we'll dismiss, and you can go to the parents' meeting so you won't be here late. I do want something. We've been passing these out. I am very excited about our singles retreat, and we've not done anything this like this for the singles in quite a while, but in the early days of the church, and many of you that have been around long, you remember that's our singles ministry. That's what our church was, and we did a lot of things like that, and I want to kind of, I think it'll be good for us, a shot in the arm, particularly the time of year we're having it, and so I hope you'll get on board with that and be with us in San Diego. It's going to be a great, great, great time. If you have any questions about it, you can ask myself, your adult Sunday school teacher, but let's be on board with that, and then, of course, next weekend, anniversary and building dedication. It's going to be very, very, very exciting. We got a lot of special things planned. We have guests coming, as we've mentioned, and we have a couple videos that we're going to show and some other things, and then honor a few people. Service will be at 10 o'clock with no Sunday school, so let's be here and let's be in our places on time. By the way, remember, the one thing COVID taught us is you can be here by 9:30, okay? We had 9:30 service for months, and everybody was here, and so now that we're not having that, let's make sure we're in our places. I want to help us with something tonight, a thought I want to share with you. I think it will help us. We mentioned this morning, we talked about all of us will face problems, have issues in our life, and things of that nature that we need to take care of, and that's just natural. You know, we mentioned all the different things. It could be our marriages. It could be our families. It could be, you know, work situations. You name it. There are all kinds of things that come up. And not even situations like that, but just situations that demand a decision on our part. Situations that demand we look at it. What step are we taking in life? Where are we going? All these different things, choices we make. And it's very important that we make the right decisions. But what happens when we don't seem to have the answers for some of these decisions? What is it when we're looking at things and we're not quite sure what we are supposed to do? Maybe we need help from somebody else in understanding the situation and maybe getting a different perspective. What if we've complicated things in our life by our choices? Maybe some sin that we've done in the past. A lot of times situations come up and we just don't know what to do. And in cases like that, what you ought to do is seek counsel. You know, the Bible talks a lot about counsel. Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 12:15, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. That tells us sometimes we don't want to go to get counsel because we're being foolish and we think we have the answers and we've already made our decision and we know deep down in our heart it may not be the right decision and we don't want anybody overturning the apple cart. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Proverbs 19:20, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. In Proverbs 20, verse 18, every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice, make war. Counsel is important and is needed. Now, if you've been here any amount of time, you may get the thought in my mind that I'm not for counsel, okay? I'm not against counsel. I'm against counseling. I don't like this thing where you come in and we want to meet over every week over coffee about some little thing that has nothing to do with anything. But I think there are times when we need to ask somebody about what's going on, what we're doing, and is there a biblical perspective on it? And it's a very dangerous place when we're not willing to do that. Counsel's important. Now, I'm going to go a different direction here for a minute, but I don't want to get us in our mind that counsel is not important, because it is. By the way, I'm never going to have a counseling line. I know a pastor's like, after church, if you want to come see me, I'll just go wait in my office and you can line up. That is a total waste of time. If you need something, call me. We'll set up an appointment. You can't solve something after 5 minutes with a quick 3 or 4 minute appointment in church if you have something serious to take care of. And I'm all for that. And I do meet with people. And I'm not against counsel. I'm all for it. But I think you understand my philosophy there. So this message is an anti-counsel, but I want to add something to it that's vitally important and will help us if we'll listen. What do I mean? I think a lot of what we need counsel for, we really shouldn't need counsel for. Or we could have dealt with it correctly without going to somebody for help. That's the point I'm making, and I'll show it to you in a minute. As again, I'm not against it. So if you're talking to me or nothing, you know, you got an appointment with me this week, I'm not saying I don't want to see you. I hope you understand what I'm saying, and I'll explain it. But a lot of the situations we get ourselves into, a lot of the situations where we need to come and get help about something, we should have never been in that situation if we'd have understood how to handle it in the first place. Moses, as we get to our text, and the Israelites are out of Egypt and they're starting on their wilderness journey. As they're going, Moses is the guy that takes the truth of God and brings it to the people. And so this is before the law, so the law wasn't really complete yet. And so people had these issues that were coming up. Now you have a vast host of people that were slaves, and now they have freedom. And they're traveling, and so issues are going to come up. They didn't have those issues before because they were told what to do, when to do it, where to be. They didn't have to deal with any of that. But now they have all these things coming their way. And so Moses has a routine of meeting with the people, and they come to him. They bring him the problems. It could be of a legal nature or something that's going on, and he's dealing with all of this stuff. And then Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, comes to visit. And as he's sitting there and he's looking, he's seeing this, and he sees the day. He gets up one morning apparently, and he goes out and he sees early in the morning there's Moses. And there's a long line of people that are there to talk to Moses. From the beginning of the day until the evening time. All day long. His father-in-law sees a problem with the system. And so he talks to Moses and he alerts him as to the problem in his system. There's a flaw, something he needs to fix. And so he gives him a plan. He tells him to delegate and train others to help him in this council. A lot of them are just disputes or whatever. Some of them can handle 10. Some of them can handle a group of 50, 100, whatever. He said, but find these men. And you train them what to tell the people, and the people will come to them for answers. And if people don't have, if your delegated guys don't have the answers, they'll come to you and you give them the answer and they'll take it back to the people. Now, by the way, that's a pretty fundamentally sound plan. That's taking the task and breaking it up and giving everybody a piece. And it will work. But if you'll notice, and by the way, I've heard people preach on that aspect of it, you know, get good men to help and delegate. I teach in our college, I teach a leadership class, and one of the lessons is I teach off of this passage and how he talks about who are the men that should be leading. But we miss a big, important piece of the pie here. It goes deeper than just setting up leaders to help offload the work to Moses and to something a little simpler, to something that will avert a lot of the council, divert the people away from council in the first place. There's a step that he suggested. Now, before I look at that step, and that's really the message, I want us to look at why he came to that conclusion. I want you to notice first that there was a difficulty that he identified. He noticed it. Here was the difficulty. Moses was a one-man show. If people were going to get help, they had to run to Moses. He's the only one. And by the way, that's not good. And let me just say this. No other person can play God in your life. Okay? And, you know, we all look sometimes in this one person. Look, there's more to it than that. We're going to get to that in a minute. Now, Moses was the leader, and that was vitally important, but he couldn't be the only one doing the work. What were some of the problems he noticed because Moses was a one-man show? Because the people didn't have the luxury of having the law such as you and I have in the words of God today. He noticed the frustration of waiting. Look at verse 15. And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. He's answering his father-in-law like, man, what is going on? When they have a matter, they come unto me and I judge between one and another, and I do make them to know the statutes of God's and his law. He says, they come to me with the problem, and I take the piece of the word of God that applies to their problem, and I help them with it. You know what the problem is? They can only get as much help as one person can give. They can only get help if they waited in line all day and got to Moses. And by the way, if Moses is like us, by the time you get to the end of the day, you're tired. The probably the counsel wasn't as good as in the morning. Amen. The more tired you are, you probably don't care. Like, you know, I want to leave my wife. You know, in the early morning, it's like, let's fix this. You know, God's not. By the end of the day, it's like, see you later. Go. Okay. You get tired. You get frustrated. And he's wearing down. He said, that's a bad idea. They were waiting. By the way, let me say this. There are some problems you're going to have in your life. You don't have time to get to somebody. Now, I hope that you do. Okay? I hope that whether it's a trusted Christian you know, or maybe your Sunday school teacher, and most of you probably have my cell phone number. Whatever it is, you have somebody in the time of emergency you can get to, but sometimes you have to make a spur-of-the-moment decision. You have to do the right thing in the spur of the moment, and you can't get to somebody. And waiting can cause frustration. He also talks about the friction of wearing out. Look at verse 18. Thou shalt surely wear away, both thou and the people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. He says, Moses, you're not going to be able to even help people because you're wearing yourself out. There's friction there. And all that they, look, the tired you are, the more irritated you get with things, right? Sometimes your children come in, they're being a little noisy and everything's fine. Other times it's like, don't sit, you know, you're on edge. It's like, stop it. You know, I've been at work all day. I don't need to hear it. Not that you should do that, okay? I'm not saying you should do that. But when we're tired and it wears on us, he says, Moses, it's wearing on you. Why? There was only one Moses. That's the point I'm trying to get. And then he mentions, because of all this, there will be a faith that is weakening. Look at verse 18 again. Thou shalt surely wear away. Now, he was the one that was up from morning to night, right? It wasn't the people. They got in line and they got done and they weren't there the next day. Every day there was a fresh batch. So Moses would wear away, but both thou and the people that is with thee. Why? Because under this system, Moses wasn't able to give him their best. And the people weren't getting answers right away. And so if it's wearing on him, it's going to wear on them. It's a trickle down. So he identified the problem. Now, this is a very simple message. So he introduces a diversion. He says, Moses, we need to switch gears here. You need to change what you're doing. He gave him a great solution, right? Have others that you can delegate to that can help you do the work. But, listen to this, we're missing the whole first step that he gave Moses. Before he said delegate others for them to come to for counsel, do you know he gave them another step? He gave them a better idea. He gave them something which would also help lessen this load of counsel. Shall we read it together again carefully? Verse number 19. I want you to get this. Very simple tonight. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to God word, that thou mayest bring the causes to God. He says, yes, that is needed. Sometimes they're going to come in and there's going to be situations, and you need to take those situations to God to figure out the proper answer for them. By the way, none of us have all the answers. In fact, of the matter is, most of us don't know all the questions. We think we know everything. We think we got everything down, but a lot of times we don't, and we get ourselves into trouble. But he says, yeah, Moses, we need to do that. We need to have the answers. They'll come to you. Verse 20, though, here's what we miss. We go to 21 where he gets the delegation. What about verse 20? Ready? And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws and show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. Do you understand that? If you don't, I'll explain it. Here's what he says. You're going to set these men up so when they do have their causes, they need counsel, they'll come to, and they won't just come to you. And if it's too big, your leaders can come to you and get the answer. But here's the first point. Teach the people how to deal with their own problems scripturally themselves. Teach them ordinances. Teach them the word of God. Push them to understand what God is saying so that when a situation arises, most of them, they'll be able to handle themselves. They don't need to come to you except for the big ones. Except for the situations where maybe they don't quite have the answer. And by the way, when you come, you're not ignorant of the scripture. Sometimes we all need counsel. I've called for counsel over the years many times, still do. But we miss that part. We want to be everybody's, here's what you do type of thing. But it's like, look, first, teach them the word of God. Now, why? Because as they learn and apply God's word and principles, two things will happen. They will need less counsel because they already know what God says to do. A lady years ago, we're sitting outside. She comes here and says, God spoke to me. Now, this is a worst case illustration. He told me to leave my husband, and he's already picked somebody else for me to marry. Like, I'm just going to sign off on that. I'm going to that wasn't God. No, Pastor, he spoke to me. I know it was God. I'm like, he did speak to you in the Bible. That's not of God. See, how many decisions do we make and things we do? And I prayed about it. I'm all for prayer. I think we talked about that this morning. I don't care how much you pray about it. If God already spoke about it, you don't need to pray to God about it. Should I be at church on Sunday? You don't need to pray about that. God's already spoke. Should I be willing to share my faith with others that don't know Christ? Let me pray about that. You don't need to pray about it. God already spoke. Should I give? Touching on a touchy subject. Should I give the tithe? God already spoke on it. See, there's all kinds of things. Should I get involved? Someone brought something to me recently and said, and I asked about the plan. I said, what exactly are you thinking? And they mentioned it. And I said, well, I can just tell you right now, that's specifically mentioned in the Bible that you can't do that. You're on scriptural grounds there. Well, I just have this feeling. Well, don't go by your feelings. You'll hate everybody. I do. Just kidding. Look, we don't go by our feelings. Your feelings change. We need truth. And we will already know what God says to do. The second thing that will happen if we push people to that is they will avoid needing counsel because they're already doing what God tells them to do. I'll say it over and over. If we just simply spent time in our Bibles every single day and were committed to what it said, 95% of your issues would go away. Now, sometimes, if you're like myself, or maybe you got saved later in life, there are some things that came aboard that you just have to deal with. It's something that happened when you were, I get it, but you know what I'm saying. A lot of our problems are because we're not in the Word of God, because we're not learning the Word of God, and we're not committed to doing the Word of God. And we get into trouble. We can avoid a lot of that. We don't need counsel when we're avoiding things. I'm not going to call AAA to come change my flat tire if my tire's not flat. Years ago, now we were unsaved. Some friends of mine and I, we were out messing around one Friday night. Robert wasn't with us. And they decided, let's go to the movies, drive-in movies. And you know how young kids are, they're stupid. Like, let's get in for free. We'll just go in through the exit. Now, how many of you know they have those little spiky things? You know what I'm talking about? So we had a 2x4. I'm not saying you should go to the movie. We were on set. And I am, so let me get the 2x4 out. I'll push it down. You can drive over it. Now, this guy had like some old car. It was a boat. He goes, I can do it, bro. I can get over all of them. We had 3 flat tires. 3. That was just a stupid decision. He needed to call AAA. But you know what? If he would have listened to our stealing in the first place, we could have done it correctly. I don't know if you can ever do that. But see, if we're doing things correctly, we don't have the consequences of doing something of something that we did wrongly. That's why we need to learn. Now, what are the things that they were to learn and be taught in addition to setting up people for them to come get counsel from? Well, very simple. There's 3, we're done. The Word of God. The Word of God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws. He said, let me just teach you what God says. That's it. What does God say about a situation? By the way, sometimes that's why a church like ours may not be as popular. People don't want to hear the truth. They want us to come up here, give some pop psychology, some cute little thing, never step on anybody's toes, never say anything, and they walk out the door, and they walk right into the situations they could have avoided. By the way, the Bible's a practical book. Well, you guys believe some things we just don't believe. Read the New Testament. We're conservative in everything we do. And I don't apologize for that. You know why? Because I read my Bible. It's in there. And I'm not going to put ourselves in a place where we're giving someone a taste for that nonsense to go out. I want us to follow the Word of God. His commands that we are to obey. Do you know God's commands are not optional? We have to understand that. Sometimes we don't need counsel, we just need to obey. Sometimes people want to come in and ask a question because they think I'm going to give them the answer they want to hear. And by the way, I'm not your God. I don't just tell people what to do. Now, if you ask me, I'll give you my advice and it's on you. I'm not telling you what to do. But sometimes people want their, you know, pastor said, if that's what you want, don't come see me. Okay? Because I'll just tell you the truth and you can run with it any way you want to. But sometimes we know what to obey. Come on. You know there'll be an uneasy feeling in your soul if you're saved. Tells us what we are to believe. Sometimes we hear things and, oh, that sounds so cute and that sounds so wonderful. And it's not even doctrinally true. We talked about grace a couple months ago. Some guy wrote a book against having any kind of standards or convictions. And his whole point was, if you put a sign on a park bench that says, do not touch wet paint, we automatically want to touch it. How many of you are like that? I am. Do not touch, you know. Or like, you know, do not cross this line. I kind of walk by and like, right? How many of you like that? Like I showed them. I didn't do that because there was a sign there. I did that because I'm sinful. I did that because I want to do my own thing. That sounds cute, but can I just tell you something? The reason we sin isn't because God says don't do this and it makes us want to do it. The reason we do is because we want to do our own thing. And it teaches us what is right and wrong. By the way, if we know what's right and wrong, we'll avoid a lot of problems. So it teaches us the Word of God. Let me ask you something. Are you committed to God's Word? I can tell you how committed you are to God's Word. You ready? How often do you read it? Well, Pastor, I don't need to read it. I'm in church. Hey, I'm glad you're here because we're going to try to get you in the Word of God and we're trying to show you some things from the Word of God. But can I just tell you something? That's not the main course. The main course is when you open your Bible each and every day. If you're not committed enough to read your Bible, you're not going to be committed enough to live it. I had a teenager years ago. I was a young single when I oversaw the singles. They came to my house on Roxanne, and she said, about some of the things that our church believes. She goes, well, that's just not my, I don't believe that. That's just not my conviction. And I'm like, do you even read your Bible? It was silent. Can you prove that to me from Scripture? Don't come here and tell me something if you're not going to look it up in the Word of God. We have to get in the Word of God. And a lot of the things we need help with, we'll already have the answers. So the Word of God. Also, he said, teach them about the will of God. And thou shalt teach them, verse 20 again, the ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk. This is the path to go. This is the way you're supposed. By the way, the Word of God always comes down to living it. I know that's not popular anymore, but it's not some cute little flowery. The Word of God is to be lived. I've read it many, many times. There are no loopholes. God expects when you get saved for your life to be different. God expects for there to be a difference in the way you live. I don't know about you. Before I was saved, I was walking a wrong path. But once I got saved and God got a hold of me, I flipped a U-turn and I tried to go down the path, and I still am, of the right way. You know what that way is? God's will. Whenever you do the will of God, whenever you obey the Word of God, you are doing the will of God in that area. Think about that. Now, there are some things we don't know, you know, who am I going to marry and all these different things. Now, the Bible gives us guidelines as to these things, but it's not specific. Nowhere did I ever read in my Bible, you know, thou shalt marry Alma. That would have made it a lot easier. Okay? No. But there are things that are just point blank. And as we follow God in his word each and every day, you know what happens? We will arrive exactly where he wants us to be. No amount of counsel that Moses could give could change the heart of a person who's not committed to living God's word, God's will. It's not. We could teach you the Bible until we're blue in the face. But if you're not willing to do what it says, it's kind of a waste of time in your life. You see, you got to follow it. You got to be willing to do how we are supposed to live. And then the specifics about what we should be doing in our life. God will lead us. Then lastly, the work of God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein thou must walk, and the work that they must do. Responsibilities. By the way, the Bible shows us those, does it not? If you're a husband, do you know the Bible tells you the work you got to do to be the right kind of husband? Not some book you read. And by the way, I read a book. Someone recommended a book. I read it. It was written by a lady. She was she used to be a trainer of killer whales at SeaWorld. So what she did is she decided to take those principles of training Shamu and apply them to her husband. He didn't know it. She gave one example. She said, I'm in there cooking dinner, and he always comes in and starts picking at the food and doing things that gets in my way. So she says, now what we would do when we were trying to train one animal and another animal's in the way, we would place food at the other end of the pool so the animals would hang out there by the food. So what she did is at the end of the kitchen, she put a little thing of snacks. So her husband would walk in and go, hey, snacks. And she gave several examples like this. Finally, he figured it out. And one day, he was sitting there eating the snacks. He goes, wait a minute. You're shamooing me. Now, that's good advice. I don't know if it's scriptural. Keep your husband out of the kitchen. Just put some snacks at the end. We can get ideas from all kinds of places. But you know how we learn, where we learn to fulfill our responsibilities and do the work we're supposed to be doing? We learn it from the Word of God. It tells us exactly how we're to do things, what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to do it. He tells us the roles we're supposed to fill. The more we talked about this morning, responsibility has been thrown out the window in our society. By the way, you want to get ahead? Be responsible, work hard. No one's doing it. And you can go to Taco Bell and get a $200 signing bonus. Now, before we finish, I'm done. I'm going to just mention quickly, how can you apply this? If I'm trying to learn the Word of God myself so that I don't always have to run to somebody else because I don't know anything about the Word of God, how can you do that? Let me just give you a couple thoughts. Grow in your walk with God. Grow in your walk with God. Okay, the closer you are to God, the more you're going to understand his will, his way, and his words. If you're not close to God, you're going to have a hard time living for God. Very hard. The Bible calls trying to do that in the flesh. It doesn't work. Next, learn all you can in his word. Don't just get your little Bible reading calendar like, got to read my three chapters today. And you get done, it's like, what did you read? Like, it was in Isaiah or wherever book you're in. That's why I don't want you journaling, but you should get a notebook, okay? Journaling's for girls. Guys, we write notebooks. You gotta have a little notebook, and each day, what did I get out of my Bible? It doesn't have to be theological, you know, dissertation of 12 pages. It can be a paragraph. You know what that gets you to do? What is God talking to me about today? Be faithful to church and hear all you can. In the early days of me being a Christian, I was 18 when I started coming to church faithfully. I had never read the Bible. I was clueless about all of it. And as I was reading the Bible, what helped me was just the preaching and teaching, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and they had Wednesday night. It was filling in the gaps. And the things I was reading and the things I was learning just kind of like jump-started me. Very important. Next, commit, by the way, let me just throw this in. I'm going to throw this in every time. Live stream is not church. I'd throw that out there. If you're sick, it's church. Okay? If you broke your leg, it's church. If your car breaks down in Outer Mongolia and you can get on the internet, it's church. But if you can come to church and you choose to sit at home, I love you, but that's not church. Next. All the people sitting on their couch just said amen. With a handful of popcorn. Commit to obedience to God. Don't just learn the word of God. When you learn something, say, you know what? That's for me. If that's what God says, I'm in. Next, avoid self-inflicted issues. Most of our problems come because we violated scripture somewhere. And when you violate scripture somewhere, life gets hard, problems come, and situations arise. Obedience helps you avoid the vast majority of these situations. And by the way, sometimes we're making decisions, we're going to step into something where years later, it's going to wreck us. Oh, we don't think it is, but it will. Lastly, go for counsel if you don't know how the Word of God applies to you or you need help in finding those answers. And let me just say this. If you're making a big decision, you should always run it by somebody. I can think of two times in my life. Once we were almost moved up to Washington. I was just kind of sick of everything that was going on around here and the situation we were in. And I'm like, man, it'd just easier in some little small town somewhere, and I'm just done. But talking to someone, I'm like, I'm just going to put it off for 6 months. Let me just see if that's the right thing I should really do. If it's the right thing now, it'll be the right thing in 6 months. And in 6 months, God very clearly showed me that was not the place for us to go. God didn't want us just to leave because of circumstances. By the way, we should shout that out to everybody in Florida and Texas and any other conservative state. We all want to, oh, it's a promised land. The promised land has thorns. And by the way, it has humidity. Yeah, it's not good. The other time, we moved to go to Florida to help start a church. It was sincere desire. We didn't bother to ask anybody about it. I'll tell you what I did. I asked my pastor about it on a payphone. It was that long ago, outside of a grocery store, as the loading van was parked in front of my house full of all of our furniture. I wanted his stamp of approval on it, right? And I told him, Brother Black, he says, now, and I told him everything we were doing, and Brother Black said, okay, let me make sure I got this straight. Here's what you're doing, and here's why you're doing it. And I was just expecting him to say, yes, sir, and we're going to go get in the van and drive to Florida, which we did anyhow. He said, Steve, let me just tell you what I think. Bad move. And I'm like, oh, okay. Listen, I was already out the door. In a situation like that, I probably should have went and got some help. And if you have a big situation, go get help. Don't just make some life-altering decision without talking to somebody. People aren't God, but you know what happens? Sometimes we have blinders on our eyes. We don't see things. Everything looks good, And then it's like, hey, have you considered this? And it's like, ooh, yeah, I didn't consider that. When we don't want to get help, that's the problem. But the message tonight, the biggest part of the message is this. A lot of the small piddling things that come in our life, they wouldn't be there if we just knew God's word and we knew what we were supposed to do and we simply did it. We'd avoid a lot of drama. And so that's my encouragement tonight. Let's stand together if we may, just for a minute. Every head bowed and every eye closed just for 1 minute. I'm not against counsel, and maybe I said some things jokingly. I hope you understand what I'm trying to get through here. Not against it. Some of you, by the way, some people have made decisions and they didn't talk to anybody about it, and that's between them and God, but it typically comes with consequences. But a majority of things, if you live your life and you go from drama to drama to drama to drama to drama, that's a sign that you are not following God's word. Situations of life come, I get it. But if you go from problem to problem to problem, that means maybe our obedience level needs to change. Maybe we don't know God's word enough. See, when you know God's word, someone at work says, hey, the boss doesn't, we can take these things. The boss will never know. You don't have to even think about that because the Bible, thou shalt not steal. This is very simple. It's there. Hey, let's go look at this thing. I gave you a story before. I was working at a warehouse. There was only five of us that worked on the midnight crew. They decided that Tuesday night they were going to bring videos in and watch pornography in the break room. Now, they did it the 1 week I was on vacation. I came back on Monday. They said, let me just tell you what we're doing on Tuesday. And I said, no, you're not. I'll turn you in. I'm not having that around me. I didn't have to pray about that. I didn't have to think about that. I know what God feels, how God feels about that kind of nonsense. Let's get in the Word of God. Let's be serious about God's Word and learning it and having it be a part of our lives. Piano's going to play. If God spoke to you at all, why don't you come? Why don't you come?